Amen. Thank you again for being here tonight as we get ready to jump into the book of Proverbs chapter 7. Last Sunday evening, we looked at verses 1 through 5. I'd like to try to get through verse 6 and go to the end of the chapter at verse 27. And then next Sunday night, we will look at all of chapter 8 for our mothers. And look at the analogy that Solomon uses when he talks about wisdom, comparing it to a lady. And so as we look at this tonight, Jacqueline said, "What are you preaching on tonight?" I said, "Proverbs 7. She said, "What's that deal with?" I said, "Adultery." She said, "You've been on that the last 30 weeks." She said, "People have been asking. You've been dealing." When you preach verse by verse, there's things that you come across that you can't ignore. And it would be a travesty if we just skipped over it. That's why we need to treat the Bible the way the Bible's intended to be treated. And that is verse by verse and exposit the Word of God. Solomon tells Rehoboam here, you know, "Son, keep my words, treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live." And remember, we talked about this. My law is the apple of your eye, the pupil, the protection that it gives us, the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, "You are my sister," and to understanding, "My nearest kin." He says that they may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. Now we get to verse 6, and this is the picture of a person looking out the window at night in the village, in the town square, if you will, of all the going-ons that happen. Okay? At New Hope, if something happens out here, my dad's going to know about it because he looks out that window. Y'all know people like that? One of his good friends, Billy Job, who went here. Billy Job, when Jason, who is one of my dear friends, would tell me that when somebody had come to the door or drive up in the driveway, Billy would go to the curtain and peek out and shake the curtain and look and see who was there. I think a lot of us are like that. We look out the window to see what's going on in our neighborhoods, in our country, home settings, whatever it may be. Well, here's Solomon giving this picture to Rehoboam. "I'm looking out the window, and this is what I see. This is what I see." I'll never forget one night, Jacqueline and I were in Dublin, Ireland, and we were in a hotel, and it was chaos galore. They were singing the Irish ballads. They were drinking what they call the water of life, which was beer, and they were drinking it and whiskey and everything, and they were singing the ballads and they was getting with it. And I was looking out the window to see what was going on in the town square, and you could see people just moving about. I can picture this, Solomon giving this story to his young son, saying, "Look, here's what I see. For at the window of my house I looked through my lattice, and I saw among the simple," the simple. That simply means this, the simple are those that lack understanding. They lack understanding. They lack understanding of the Word of God. They have, in their rebellious hearts, because of our depravity and sin, they have rebelled, if you will. They have rebelled against their parents' teaching. How many of us have been there tonight? They've rebelled against their parents' teaching. "And I saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths." So it was people that were of young age that he sees out this window, that he's watching out this window. And he's watching these young men, if you will, this young man, if you will, go up and down the street at night. Okay? I don't know why I have the hobby of going to get gas late at night. We used to, when our kids wouldn't go to sleep, put them in the car seat and drive them around, go get gas, go drive around town, and then they'd fall asleep. Then we'd get back home, then we could go to sleep, right? And so we'd do that, and as you would drive around Mineola, it's amazing to see who's out after dark. You see some very interesting people out after dark. You see some people that you think, what are you doing out at this hour? And then they pull up to the red light and say, what are you doing out at this hour? Right? So here we go. We've got the simple, the youth. He calls him a young man there in verse 7, a young man devoid of understanding. He has no understanding, no knowledge, no understanding of that law back in verse 3 that needs to be written on the tablet of your heart. And in verse 8, passing along the street near her corner, he took the path to her house. Passing on the street near her corner. That's an interesting thing to say. He maybe wasn't going to her house, but he was going to her neighborhood. He was going to her neighborhood. There are people in this world, there are people in this community, that there are houses where there's going to be big parties. There are houses where there's going to be big get-togethers. There's houses where if you just want to go and hang out and chill out and have a beverage or indulge in things that are absolute sin, there are places in this community that you can go to. And Solomon is saying this. He said, this is where this young man's going. This young man that has no knowledge, this young man that has no understanding, this young man is going to her street, right to her neighborhood. As a matter of fact, he says, he takes the path to her house. Her house. When you are lost in sin, and you are struggling in sexual immorality, or you're struggling with the temptations of the world, and listen, church, the temptations of the world are as alive and well today as they are when Solomon wrote them. These temptations pull you in. These temptations engulf you. These temptations capture you. It becomes a snare. And as it becomes a snare, it does not let you go. And what we have here is this young man going to her neighborhood, going to her street. Solomon says he took the path to her house. To her house. When you become saved by Jesus Christ, there is a commandment that rings in our head. Flee sexual immorality. When there are situations that you get yourself into, situations that tempt you, situations that arise that you say, well, you know what? It may be better if I just go out here and have this affair or do this or do that. Our command from the Word of God, especially from the Apostle Paul, is to flee sexual immorality. That's what he says. And so that command is a directive, and that command that is a directive applies to us who are saved to flee from that type of lifestyle. But here's this old boy. He's going right to it. He's devoid of understanding. He's taking the path to her house. And then there in verse 9, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, he goes in the darkness so that nobody would see him. Nobody would see him. Nobody knows what I'm doing. Nobody knows what's going on. Nobody knows why I'm out at night. Oh, what was that song by Tom T. Hall? Marge is at the Lincoln Park Inn. And he gets his wife settled down for the evening. He gets his little kids in bed. And then he sneaks off to the Lincoln Park Inn. Those old country ballads are a lot of people's lifestyle. And in the depths and the darkness of night, this young man goes to the street corner. He goes to her house. And he does this in the dark of the evening where nobody sees him except Solomon. I believe that Solomon is telling his son here, look, Daddy knows what you're doing. But he's not referring to himself. God sees and knows everything. And when you go into a sinful lifestyle, you can come to church and fake everybody out. You can go to your work and fake everybody out, but God knows the depths and depravity of our heart. And this is what He's looking at here. He's looking at here. The ungodly come out at night. The ungodly prowl the streets at night. I remember when I was a kid in grade school, there was this rap group called Houdini. Now that was back when rap didn't have cuss words in it. So my parents let me listen to some of that. And one of the songs that they sang, and they had a robot that said they'd put that microphone up there and make a robot sound, was called "The Freaks Come Out at Night." That's the truth. The freaks come out at night. When you drive to Mineola, what do you see? You see the bar scene. The cars are full. The car, for you guys that go to bed at 7 o'clock, y'all probably don't know this. But when you drive down the street at Mineola, at the places that sell alcohol, the car lots are full. These little private clubs that are popping up all over the place, even in our own small town, their parking lots are full. When you drive around and see the VFW packed to the brim, you see people that have gathered for what? They have come together at night, and they come together to do what? Probably indulge in some type of sin. And so what do we know? When do the bars get their biggest crowd? They get them at night. When do the nightclubs get the biggest crowd? They get them at night. When you look at this right now, this young man, he comes out in the twilight, in the evening. Look at this, in the black and dark night. That's when the simple man comes out. Now I want you to look at verses 10 through 12. As the simple man goes out into the night, look who's lurking after him. Look who's lurking after him. Mom and Daddy always gave me, when I got into 11th and 12th grade, on into college, a curfew of midnight. They said, nothing happens good after 10 o'clock, and even worse things happen after midnight. And they were spot on. I thought it was stupid, right? I can't believe you're making me come in at midnight. Don't you know all my friends get to hang out all night long? Well, when you're under our roof, you're going to go by our rules. And so I respect that. And so when we look at this here, we see in verses 10 through 12 that there was somebody out there lurking after him, and that is the harlot. Let's look at this, verse 10. And there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot. And listen to what Solomon says. He says, in a crafty heart. She was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. At times she was outside, at times she was in the open square. But look at what he says about her. Lurking at every corner. Lurking at every corner. The harlot is always lurking. She has a crafty heart. The Hebrew word means hidden. A hidden heart. She hides her true intentions. She's going to come on to you men. She's going to come on to you men with some type of maybe religious verbiage. She's going to come on to you men trying to sway you and pull you in her direction. But inside her crafty heart is a hidden motive to destroy your life. Destroy your life. We'll look at that in verse 27 before we close tonight. She has a crafty heart. She has a crafty heart. She hides her true intentions of sexual pleasure versus the simple fool. The Bible says that she is loud. Look there in verse 11. Verse 11 says she was loud. I like to attribute that to the life of the party. You ever known people like that? You walk in and that woman is laughing louder than anybody else. Those people are like, just turn me off completely, right? But some people, they love that. Oh, they're having a good time. Look, they're the life of the party. They're living it up. She was loud, and look what else she is. She's rebellious. She's rebellious against God. She's rebellious against the family order. She's rebellious against what has been taught to her. And she is absolutely rebellious in her ways. Rebellious in her ways. The life of the party. The life of the party. Look at what else is said about her. Her feet would not stay at home. Ladies, and I don't mean this to come out any other than in love. When God made women, He made a beautiful creature. And in that, he gave women an instinct on how to be a mother. Amen? We're going to celebrate that next Sunday. We ought to celebrate it every day, right? But as we think about this instinct that he gave to be mothers, he also gave an instinct on how to love husbands. And when we look at this and we see this lady that is not staying at home, not taking care of what God has called her to take care of the husband. A lot of people get this backwards. God has called wives to love their husbands. Second is the children. Well, first is God. Second is the husband. Third is the children. And so many times families flip-flop this, don't they? God goes down to the bottom of the totem pole. Kids go up to the top of the totem pole. And in the middle somewhere is the husband. And that's not the structure of the family that God has called the family to be ordered in. And it is an awesome privilege, ladies, as a godly wife, a godly mother, a godly servant of His, to love your home. There ought to be no place like home. No place. That when you go into that home, it's a home of love. It's a home of care. It's a home that people enjoy coming over to. It's a home that people inspire to be like. I've told y'all this story before, but I got to share it again. We had a little girl spend the night with us this weekend, a Caitlin's friend. And they were lined up at our bar. Now, I'm not talking about an alcoholic bar, but a bar that you sit at the kitchen. And they're lined up there getting ready to eat. And everybody's getting ready to eat. We're about to say our prayer, and that little girl, oh, I just nearly choked up. She told Jacqueline, she said, "Y'all have a perfect family." Oh, I just shook my head. And Jacqueline said, "Oh, no. We're way from perfect." But that little girl saw something sitting at our kitchen table, I don't know, that maybe she had not seen before. But wives, I want to encourage you. Mothers, I want to encourage you. Grandmothers, great-grandmothers, I want to encourage you. Your home is ordained by God. And when you have a home ordained by God, that home is a special place. Because it's more than a house. It's more than acreage. That home is something that has been given to you by God to uphold and raise that family. There is no greater honor than to be able to do that. This lady didn't care about that. Her feet kept her away from home. Dr. Roy B. Zook, he said that she was a gadabout. I'd never heard that word before. Gadabout, I had to look it up. It simply means a woman or man that likes to go out seeking pleasure. All they want to do is seek pleasure. Let's go to the mall. They didn't have the mall back then, but they had the town square. Let's go buy. Let's go do this. Let's go out to eat. Let's go here. Let's go there. Let's just go, 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 go. And when you go, 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 let me tell you something, what happens. Speaking right now, the home starts to dwindle. Are you with me? Softball game, Monday night. Tuesday night, band concert. Wednesday night, church. And let me tell you something. Church is supposed to be refreshing. But sometimes church can be a chore. I'm just going to be honest with you. Thursday night, scholarship night. Friday night, softball, baseball playoffs, who knows where. Saturday, let's start it all over again. Sunday, let's start it all over again. And then where is the time for the home? Can I get a witness tonight? We become so busy and so wrapped up into our personal lives that our home goes by the wayside. Oh, how it would be so nice for us to put the focus back on the home. I think when COVID hit, God got our attention to get back to the home. And some of the most joyful times I had with my family was in quarantine. It was. I loved it. I loved being around my family. We had some of the most joyful times. This lady here, she didn't care about the home. She ran off. She didn't want to stay at home. As a matter of fact, she was out in the open square in verse 12. At times in the open square, lurking at every corner. Lurking at every corner. She's looking for her prey. Does this remind you of somebody in 1 Peter? Called the devil? He's like a roaring lion. He seeks to jump on those and devour those that he's trying to get a hold of. This lady is an agent of Satan. And let me tell you something, folks. They're out there on every corner. They're out there on every corner. She's lurking at every corner, and so we want to look at verses 13 through 20. The harlot always makes herself more enticing than she really is. Look at verse 13. The first thing that she did is she caught him. Caught him, and look at what she did. She kissed him. With an impudent face, she said to him. Now, let's talk about that. When there's something powerful about the human touch. When somebody pats you on the back, it's encouraging. When somebody hugs your neck, it causes endorphins the way God made us to feel better. There's just something about the human touch. But then when you take it to this next notch of sensuality, where lips meet lips and a kiss is given, wow, this lady who is crafty in her heart with hidden emotions, hidden intentions, puts her lips on the lips of the simple man. And what does the simple man do? The simple man now has no reason whatsoever. He has no understanding. He has no knowledge. And listen, I've had friends like this. I've been this way when I was a young idiot. Can I get a witness tonight? And I've had friends like this that I've tried to say, that gal is no good for you. She's going to cut your throat. Michael, you don't know what you're talking about. It's better yet, you and I just don't need to be friends. And man, I've seen it spiral right out of control. She kissed him. With an impudent face, she said to him, with this face of saying, hey, I want you to know who I am. I love you. I care for you. As a matter of fact, I'm a woman who is very religious. Oh, very religious. Look at what she's going to say next here. She says, I have peace offerings with me. Today I have paid my vows. So I came out to meet you diligently to seek your face, and I have found you. I have found you. These peace offerings were probably from Leviticus chapter 7, verses 11 through 18. She was using ceremonial ritual in place of morality. Has that ever happened to somebody before? Wow. Well, I'm a Christian, but you've been married 3 times and you've had 20 boyfriends. No, I'm a Christian. I believe in God. Oh, do you? Well, I believe in God too. So we must be the same. And when in actuality, you're as unyoked as unyoked can be. Oh, but you don't understand. I go to church. I worship God. Oh, you do? Well, I do too. What church do you go to? Well, I go to this church, but if you want me to go to church with you, I'll go to church with you. Oh, would you really? But there is absolutely no relationship whatsoever with the Savior. And so what we have here is this lady selling this simple man of peace offerings, of vows. I came out to meet you diligently and to seek your face, and I have found you. You are the one I've been looking for. Have you ever heard that before? Man, you're the one I've been looking for. Wow. Listen, Dr. Ryrie in his study Bible says there's 4 things that the harlot will do to the simple man. I want to give these to you real quick. Number 1 is kissing. Kissing. There's something special about a kiss. And all of God's people said amen. something special about a kiss. Kissing is number one. Number two is flattery. Back in verse 5, the seductress who flatters with her words, whatever those words may be, it may be from all kinds of different perspectives of flattery, of where the seductress uses those words. Dr. Ryrie said that number three, she traps the simple man by sexual sensuality. And that's where we're about to go to here in just a second. Sexual sensuality. And then last but not least, she gives him reassurance. Reassurance in what? Nobody will ever find out. Nobody will ever find out. But who knows all things? Our God in heaven. Amen. And let me tell you, what is done in the dark will be brought to the light. That's scriptural. And so when we look at this tonight, we see this lady, this harlot that is enticing. She tries to make herself more than she really is. And now we come to the bedroom. The bedroom. Let's read about the bedroom in verse 16. I have spread my bed with tapestry, colored coverings of Egyptian linen. Some theologians believe that that color was purple, and it is a sign that she was wealthy. It was a sign that she was wealthy, that she had these imported linens from Egypt. She says, I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. We see this same language from Solomon in the book Song of Solomon. We see myrrh mentioned many times. We see aloes mentioned many times. We see cinnamon mentioned many times. Her bed and this lady, boy, she must have smelled real, real good. Real, real good. And when we look at this myrrh and this aloes and this cinnamon, this is the same myrrh that was used by the wise men to bring the gift to Jesus. As we know, an embalming agent of why it was given to him. But when we look at this, myrrh and this aloe and this cinnamon was all brought together, and it was brought together and perfumed on her bed. And look at what she says next. Don't you think this guy, his head so far in the clouds, you can't bring him back down to earth, right? He's probably so excited and riled up and revved up. And here's this lady saying, let me tell you about my bed. It's got Egyptian linen. Let me tell you what it smells like. It smells like myrrh, aloe, and cinnamon. Don't you know that that old boy is ready to get in that bed? She's painted a beautiful picture. But what do we know about that beautiful picture? It all falls apart. As she has painted this picture, look at verse 18. Here is the invitation. Come, let us take our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. If you'll notice that, the words mean to drink deep of love, to come and be a part of this love, this eros love, this love that is an erotic love, that isn't a lustful love. It's not an agape love. It's a love that it just feels for that moment. And she says, come, let us take our fill of love until morning. There's that sexual sensuality, that love making is going to take place all night long. And then we get down to the next part here where it says what? Let us delight ourselves with love. Don't you know that old boy? Right? He's head over heels now. And then comes the next thing. Look at verse 19. For my husband is not home. Did you notice she left that till the end? She's got that simple boy all worked up. She's got him all riled up. She's got him all ready to go. And then there at the end, she says, my husband's not at home. Do you think he cares? Of course not. He's simple. He's a fool. Solomon says he's devoid of understanding. Look at the next part there. He's gone on a long journey. She's trying to what? She's trying to make him see like, hey, It's going to be okay. Nobody will ever find out. He's on a long journey. As a matter of fact, looky here what it says in verse 20. He's taken a bag of money with him, and he'll come home on the appointed day. That was usually on the next full moon. The next full moon. He'll come home on the next appointed day. So this old boy is worked up. Her bedroom is this beautiful, deceitful web. And nobody, especially her husband, will find out. Because he's taking this large sum of cash. He's going to be gone until the next full moon. Nobody will ever find out. And what does the simple man do? Well, Solomon told us, didn't he? I want you to look at verses 21 through 27. With her enticing speech, got him worked out those flattering words over the bed, over the linens, over the perfumes, over the lovemaking. She's worked him up, and now we get to verse 21. She caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. And look at how stupid we are, men. This is how stupid we are. Solomon says immediately he went after her. Didn't matter that she had a husband. Didn't matter that she was religious. Didn't matter that he had the law written on his heart. Didn't matter. Immediately he went after her. Look at this. Solomon says, as an ox goes to the slaughter. The word means as a beast is to be butchered. As a beast is to be butchered. Or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. As a prisoner goes into the stocks to be in prison, to be in shackles, so to speak. Verse 23 says, the simple man, till an arrow struck his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know it would cost his life. Did not know it cost his life. Lamentations 2:11 says, till an arrow struck his liver, that the liver... I didn't know this. When you read the Word of God, it's something, it's interesting. When you research some of this. In Lamentations 2:11, Jeremiah says this, what God says about His people Israel, my eyes fail with tears, my heart is troubled, my bile is poured on the ground because of the destruction of the daughter of my people. My bile flows on the ground. Dr. David Jeremiah says, bile is the liver. It was regarded as the seat of emotion, and it emphasizes the intensity of Jeremiah's grief. Imagine the greatest devastation in a time of war or drought, and that is the sense of what lay before Jeremiah. All because Jerusalem had not heeded his prophetic words. He was a man whose heart was broken by the rebellious sins of his people and the tragedies of his time. Solomon used this same language, that an arrow struck his liver. That once you get entrapped with the harlot, once you get entrapped with the prostitute, once you get entrapped by the seductress, once you get in the sin of adultery, what's going to happen? The seed of your emotion is just going to fall out before you, because you are going to lose everything. Everything. He did not know, verse 23, that it would cost him his life. His life. Now we get down to verse 24 and 25. Listen to this. You godly mothers, thank you for teaching your kids. You godly fathers, thank you for teaching your kids. You godly grandparents, thank you for teaching your kids and grandkids. Now therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. We are to listen to our godly fathers and mothers. If I would have listened to my mom and daddy when I was in high school, in junior college, and on into working on my bachelor's degree, if I would have listened to my mom and daddy, I would have not went through some of the pain and stupidity that I went through. Right, parents? If I'd have just listened to their godly wisdom. Some of our kids don't have those parents at home to teach them the right way. So it's put on pulpits to teach. It's put on youth pastors, Sunday school teachers, teachers at school. But I'm going to tell you something about public education. Public education don't follow the Word of God. And sometimes they tell them to do things that contradict the Word of God. I even have good people that I believe are genuinely saved, but they tell them philosophy of psychology, philosophy of the world, rather than what the Word of God says. We need to stand on the Word of God. In the Word of God, Solomon says here, he says, "Therefore listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth." Pay attention to the words of my mouth. I was riding on a pickup truck on the back roads of Arkansas, about to go to a nightclub with some friends. And on the radio, and this is how God works sometimes, on the radio come that old Johnny Cash song, "Don't take your guns to town, Bill. Leave your guns at home. Don't take your guns to town, son. Leave your guns at home, Bill." And boy, I listened to that song. And by the time we got to that nightclub, all I could think of is Cherie Mize and Jerry Mize, what they'd be thinking. And I just sat in the back of that pickup truck. Just sat. We need good, godly fathers and mothers. Amen. Merle Haggard said, "Spite all my Sunday learning to the bad, I kept on turning. But Mama tried." Mothers, fathers, don't give up on your kids. Don't give up on your kids. "Listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths." Why? Because verse 26 and verse 27. "For she has cast down many wounded." This is a method of operation for her. This is the method of operation. When her husband leaves town, she goes out to the street corner and she lurks for the next victim. She is truly the black widow. And then it says, "All who were slain by her were strong men." Hey guys, strong men fail. Can I get a witness tonight? Strong men fail. Strong men wind up at the wrong place at the wrong time with wrong reasons on their heart because our heart is deceitful. Our heart is full of lies. Our heart is wrong. That's why we need Jesus. That's why we need Jesus. So we look at this tonight. And Solomon is pleading with his children, pleading with Rehoboam. "She has cast down many wounded. All who were slain by her were strong men." Listen to this. "Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death." Her house, wow, is the way to hell. It's the way to the grave, descending to the chambers of death. Dr. John Walward and Roy B. Zook's commentary said there are four things of why Solomon wrote this, why her house is the way to hell, why it's descending to the chambers of death. Number one, that husband's going to come back home. And when that husband comes back home, he's going to be jealous. And a jealous husband cannot see straight. Cannot see straight. Number two, Dr. Walward and Zook say poverty will overcome this simple man. Why? Because he'll lose everything. He'll lose everything. In that society, when you had an affair with somebody, people looked down upon you. People, the law said that you were to be executed. But in our society, it seems to be glamorized. Oh, how we have fallen from the standards of God. The third thing, and this is a reality, is venereal disease. Sexually transmitted diseases. Oh, but you don't understand, Brother Michael, they've got a vaccine for that. Do you want to make me vomit tonight or what? Right? I'm just getting real with you. Okay? Well, you don't understand. They've got medicine that you can take that you can just go out and do what you want to do. Well, my Bible tells me completely different. I don't need any medicine to tell me anything like that. I don't need a doctor to tell me that. I don't need a sex ed teacher to tell me that. I don't need liberals on TV to tell me that. The Word of God says flee sexual immorality. That's what we stand for. And then last but not least, her house is the house that leads to hell, descending to the chambers of death. There's one of the most important thing that simple man will face, along with the adulterers, and that is the wrath of God. The wrath of God. Let me tell you about the wrath of God. Well, Michael, I've done this. I've sinned against God. I'm thankful that where sin is, grace abounds much more. Praise God for that. But there is a principle in our Word, a principle that is real gets. And that is the principle of you will reap what you sow. Yes, God forgives adulterers. Thank you, Lord. God forgives sexual sin. Thank you, Lord. God forgives illegitimate kisses. God forgives flattering words that were meant to seduce. God forgives sexual sensuality of enticement. God forgives reassurance that nobody will find out. God forgives those sins when we call upon Him and ask for forgiveness and repent of our ways. He forgives us. But there's been a lot of good men, a lot of good women that have lost their families, lost their bank account, lost their homes, lost all those things because of a one-night stand. Church, today, pray that you be guarded by the Holy Spirit. Put on that armor of God each and every day when we walk out into the world. Because, hey, you may say it'll never happen to me. When you say that, Satan's going to come right at you. So today, lift up each other in prayer. If you struggle with issues, get an accountability partner. If you don't have one, I'll be your accountability partner. I don't try to judge anybody because I don't know what people go through. But I know this, people go through a lot of junk. They go through a lot of junk. And sometimes they just need a friend. Sometimes they just need somebody to talk to. Somebody like Solomon that would just shoot them straight. Son, don't do this because their ways are going to lead you to hell and descending to the chambers of death. You may be that person tonight that's helping somebody in our church going through that situation. We have people in our church that are struggling right now with relationships that have been broken, marriages that have been torn apart, and you're standing in there filling the gap by praying and mentoring and helping them and being there for them. Praise God for that. But I'm telling you, folks, adultery's real. The harlot's real. The simple man is real. And just where there is a harlot that's a female, there's a harlot that's a male. And they're around every corner. Every corner. May we pray for our church. May we pray for our kids. May we pray for our grandkids. To have that hedge of protection around them. And I always believe this, that the Lord has that person picked out for your son, daughter, grandson, granddaughter, that is going to be that prince. It's going to be that king, right? I tell my girls all the time, you deserve a prince, not like daddy. Because daddy, man, he fails. But y'all deserve a prince that's going to treat you like the princesses that you are. And man, we need to reassure our kids, amen? Tell them all the time. Tell them all the time that you love them. But tell them all the time what? That they've got a Heavenly Father that loves them so much more. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you for your word. Lord, your word is instruction. Lord, for the hearts here tonight that are able to receive it, because Lord, you have chosen them to be saved. Lord, I just want to praise you tonight, Lord, that you direct us through your word. And Lord, when our selfishness gets in the way, when our sin nature gets in the way, Lord, when we commit heinous sins against you, Lord, when we come to you with repentant hearts, you're always there with your arms wide open. And Lord, we just want to praise you for that tonight. Lord, we lift up our married couples to you tonight. Lord, shield them from the world. Shield them from temptation. Lord, put a hedge of protection around them that wherever they go, whatever they do, know that they are ambassadors for you. Lord, I ask you to be with our couples in our church that are struggling. Lord, you ordained marriage. You didn't want it to be separated. You didn't want to see divorce. And Lord, we're praying for those couples that are going through problems right now. Lord, that you get the glory, because Lord, we know that you want to see restoration in those marriages. Lord, we pray that tonight in unison as a church. Lord, as we study your word, Lord, hide it in our hearts. Write it on the tablet of our hearts. Bind it on our fingers so that when we go out into the world, Lord, we know that we serve you and you alone. We love you, Lord. We praise you here tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Hey, thank you for being here tonight. Amazing study of God's Word. I hope that you'll continue to be in prayer as we work our way through Proverbs. Wednesday night, be here for 6 p.m. Bible study with Brother Schaefer. Boy, it's been a lot of fun going through the book of Exodus. And we'll be here at 6 p.m. Wednesday night for that. 7 p.m. for the book of Ephesians study with Brother David Curry. If you're interested in that, our youth are being fed at 6:30, and then they go into worship, and Brennan's starting a study on Micah. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be good. So just be in prayer for all the activities going on here at Wednesday night. Next Sunday will be Mother's Day. Going to be a very special day. Miss Jean has an amazing program for us, and we're going to celebrate mothers. And I just want to thank God for my mother, and thank God for my mother-in-law, and for Jacqueline, just the mother that she is. And all you mothers, thank God for you. And we're going to celebrate mothers here next Sunday. And then next Sunday night, we're going to get in Proverbs 8. And I believe good godly mothers have what? They have godly wisdom. And I'm going to try to bring that out next Sunday night through teaching on Proverbs chapter 8. Any word or announcement before we dismiss this evening? We have a lot of things going on this week. Remember your church family and prayers. Remember the days that are set before us, the things that are going on. Pray for a great seminary rally tomorrow night. All the things that are happening this week. Just pray that the Lord be glorified. Let's stand. Brother John, Miss Jean, come.